and change it again, I'm okay with that.
The current, just to throw out there in perspective, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, if hypothetically the council was to agree to reduce that current number of 20 in a mixed use for 1 acre or greater down to 5, I would venture to say we would still and could still end up with another, for the most part, another village proposal. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm just using that as the example of what that would generate in terms of density and intensity of use on a site. So using that as a barometer, if everyone feels that's, you know, the village is a good model, an example of what we want to encourage in terms of market rate housing, because I don't, you know, the code currently doesn't restrict anybody in terms of providing, you know, affordable units. So as a stopgap to keep someone from doing a podium building here in Midway, you know, to me, 5 is actually high because, again, we're going to get and can get village-type proposals with higher density, with more square footage, if you will.
I'm going to jump in real quick just to throw out my thoughts. I am concerned about a few different angles on this, but one of them is that that this is our commercial space, and I know we don't want to give it away, you know, lightly. It's important to us, and I also know, you know, residential, as we know, doesn't really contribute back to the city, does demand from the city, and so it becomes a tax burden for all of us. And as I look at that, I'm not certain if we want to give up commercial space for density. If we do, and we might, I'm not certain we don't, but if we do, I agree completely that we just need to be real careful about how we do it, and we want to make sure that we're going to get what we really need for that concession, because putting residential there isn't going to lower everybody's tax bill. And this is our commercial space. It isn't just any space in town. It's our commercial space. So I think it deserves more protection than any other place, really, as we think about this and we think about what we want to do. So I do think that we, like a couple have said, we need to address that issue and decide if we want to give up some of that space. But we had better be smart about how we do it. And so in my mind, if we do nothing now and we regret it because something happens, that's a failure because we didn't even get to that point where we got to make a choice. We should make the decision now to protect it so that the review may lead us back to, yes, we want to do it, and here's what we want to achieve, and then we can be sure we achieve it. So I think that's far wiser. And I said last time, you know, I think 5's too high as well, just because of that concern of losing commercial. Otherwise, it's compatible with the area in general, and I'm okay with it. But it is the commercial space, and that is different. So I think we'd be wise to actually come down for now to something like 1, and then come back to it and say, if you want to get back past that, let's talk about affordable housing and see if we can get there.
So while you were talking, the thought popped into my head, Michael. I know that if we make a notice of a pending code change, if someone applies under the current code, nothing can happen until we finalize. So if maybe what I'm suggesting is some sort of a hybrid where we say, okay, we're gonna table this because we wanna do it right, but we're not tabling it, we're simply putting everyone on notice that this is code that we're still working on. How many months do we have that we can say that?
Because we're in moratorium?
No, not
like a pending notice?
Yeah,
a notice of pending ordinance change has nothing to do with the moratorium. So we could effectively announce that tonight and then go for what, 6 months?
It was always a 6-month timer every time we did it.
But in the vesting ordinance that we passed, it talked about, I think it was a year. Can you look it up?
Hmm. All of our pending code changes we've done in the past, we had a 6-month timer.
That's what I'm remembering as well.
So that the vesting is for when you hand in an application.
Right, that's what she's talking about. If we give notice, they can't vest by putting in an application. The question is, how long do we have to, after that notice, to adopt a change in the code?
Yeah.
It's, look in the vesting code. Well, we passed it just
now. So my suggestion would be then.
No, it addresses also the obligation on us, how long we can hold them up from vesting.
The other question I think that should go with that, and this is probably a Corbin question, and that is, because we didn't notice this as a pending, a notice for a pending.
Right. So what I'm going to suggest is that we continue this item while we're in the moratorium. We get clarification on what legally is allowed and what still we need to work on to have an ordinance that we feel good about. So if we continue the item, we stay in the moratorium, then at the end of the moratorium, we do a notice of pending code change, and that gives us another 6 months on this issue.
I'll make that motion.
Does the moratorium affect this?
That's a good one.
Michael, does the moratorium affect this particular type of application?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, and so right now, I guess you could say you're protected until February, mid-February.
Okay.
Unless there's a pending ordinance that's adopted, then anybody can hand in an application now.
After February. So we would have to adopt a pending ordinance before the moratorium is over.
Yeah, specific to this. And I think it is 6 months in state code that it lasts. I think our vesting code is when somebody hands in an application, they have a year with that application. If they don't act on it, then
it expires.
The motion makes sense because I may be wrong, but I disagree with you. I think we have a period of time to chase an amendment that we've given notice for, and it's not just 6 months. I don't think. I may be wrong.
But even if it is six months.
If we adopt this motion, we can move forward knowing the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And at a minimum, it would be nice to know worst case scenario,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's say we have to do something prior to the expiration of the moratorium. So, Michael, what is that council meeting that would be prior to that? Just to make sure we're not.
Yeah, you've got two options. You've got January 18, and then you've got the first council meeting in February.
February 1st.
Because the moratorium expires, the
15th.
15th of February?
Which is our second meeting.
Okay. So all I'm suggesting is whatever course of action we know we can do, let's make sure we do it by then so we're not.
Yeah,
so
and yes, first meeting for sure.
Alternatively, if we reduce it, we can always increase it.
Right.
That's right.
We could say right now, 5 units per acre, and in February, we could come back and change that to something else.
Which shortens the window of research on this to figure out what is it we want. We haven't done the general plan. We haven't heard from the public. Whereas if we continue this item until the moratorium, or at least until February 1st, and then do a notice of pending ordinance change, we just bought 6 months on this item, that we can make sure now it's clean. And nobody can do anything in the meantime.
Or we could just change it and know that it's clean.
Or that. So
and if we
want
to go through
do.
Those gymnastics to change it again, we can
I would submit that, given what you've just said, that would be an illegal moratorium.
An illegal moratorium?
Yep.
What's an illegal moratorium?
Because you're doing it not because you really believe that density ought to be 5 per acre.
I really believe the density should be 5 or less per acre.
And I think you're out of touch with the community. Or I am. So the point is, as a lawyer, I could make the argument that that is, in essence, a moratorium that is not compliant because you don't have a reasonable belief that the city and this council would vote to, for long term, make this 5 units per acre in a mixed use density.
So I will put it very clearly on the record that I believe this is a year too late. I believe our density at 20 per acre is completely unreasonable and out of touch with what the community wants. And I believe we were strong-armed into accepting a proposal because of that density. That is my sincere belief.
But
and if any lawyer wants to argue that, I will absolutely tell him to shove it.
I would add Jeff to yours. I would go further, Jeff. I would go further in that, again, the code bases the current mixed use density of residential based on gross, right? So that's 5.2 acres is the village. So a 5 units per acre reduction from 20 down to 5 will still give us, for the most part, another village. And
it will give us this proposal,
which is
the
far better.
MacGuffin proposal that we got that scared everybody into acting to this proposal is much worse, and that's allowed by our code right now.
It's much.
So if this is what we got because we wanted it, we're changing to that.
No. I would offer and suggest it's worse than that, and I'll tell you why. We got this through the creative process of doing this kind of creative zone change just to allow the units to spread. So if you remember the first one we got, how many units was that, Michael?
Yeah, it was 163.
So 163 units. So, but that was total with the lower residential on the back. That density that we got up front is a higher density, and it's probably still close to this. That's my concern.
Yeah.
So I think, in a nutshell, what I'm saying is five units to the acre, we're really not reducing village proposals, as an example.
So I made the motion suggested by the mayor. Is it appropriate to call for a second?
Yeah, so the motion that Steve made is that we continue this item to February 1st and potentially do a notice of ordinance change at that time. Is there a second to that?
Can I just ask, when is the general plan supposed to be done?
It's going to take months. And affordable housing section of the general plan is going to probably take the very longest. And that's, in my opinion, what this is going to fall into.
Yeah, I think it's going to take us to end of summer, in the fall, probably to finish the general plan.
Certain chapters will finish a lot faster.
In front of the planning commission, also before the city council, before it's adopted. So I think it's going to take some time.
I mean, it's obvious to me that the planning commission didn't feel like there was an urgency that needed
well,
to
they
be
liked it
right
at 20.
Now. So?
Well,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So, and I do. Think multiple of us disagree
your point
with
is?
That.
Well, I did ask Michael, why? What was the discussion on that, right? And
yeah.
He explained to me that they want to see a variety of housing. Okay, I get that. I understand that. So, there's no. I don't even disagree with that. I just feel like there's things we need to do that are smarter. For the city's sake and for the citizens' sake, than this. This is just dumb, in my mind. So.
Okay, so we have one motion on the table now. Is there
a
second?
I would second the motion because
okay.
I think we need. Maybe it's lower. I hate to do something tonight when we don't have to. We're not in trouble. We have till that next meeting. We table it till then. Do some more. I want to do some more research myself because, I'm looking
okay.
at I'm looking at it different, and I want to do some thing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Steve, could you repeat the motion just so for clarification?
Mayor.
No.
The motion would be that this is tabled until the February 1st meeting, at which point we either have an ordinance that we feel good about or we announce.
Pending
ordinance change.
Is that our next meeting?
No, February 1st. So that would that would be the next time we would hear about this.
It,
so
it
we
could
have
be earlier, but no later than.
So we,
yeah.
How many meetings do we have? Two in January.